one, and probably the question that might have preceded that one is why we did it this time. And quite honestly, we had a more traditional PD meeting planned. And decisions were made that, on site, in the building, PD meetings were, we didn't have the resources to support them anymore. So we needed to go off site. But we were far enough along in the planning that we were shifting on the fly. And this was an opportunity to bring in at least some of our PDs. Obviously, from your experience having come often, this is not the scale and scope that we normally have. And usually we're using a day and a half or 2 days, and we've got 2 hours. And so we were trying to look for a way to, how do we do the most we can with the time we've got and perhaps use this as an experiment, to try different models. And then next year, you may see something different, or you may see something much like this, but probably more likely a hybrid between what we've done in the past and what we've done today.
Yeah, good question, Kathleen. And you may also, some people may question why 2 hours. Initially, we requested 4 hours, but the decision came so late that we were even lucky to even get the 2 hours. Yeah, there was a question there?
I think that was Jeff.
Yeah, is that Jeff?
I was pointing to her.
Okay.
Other questions or comments?
And again, give us your feedback. If you want to see this more often, we can break down our PD meeting into multiple small PD meetings and follow you at the meetings where you normally go. But again, it's not an easy model to follow because it will require us to travel, and when we have to travel, it's always a problem. Jim?
I think you just answered my question. I was asking whether you're going to ask whether you would get outside of DC and take it on the road.
Yeah, there's a lot of models. And any of you guys, if you're planning a big meeting at some point for your program, keep us in the loop. We may easily try to tag our PD meeting into that. Mm-hmm. We are even looking at models where, it's just a brainstorming, where we can actually build the PD meeting in some of the grants that we give out. So if you have one of those large grants, and maybe perhaps we can build a PD meeting into that at some point. But again, those are ideas that we need to get approved by our administration.
And one of the greatest strengths of our community is also one of the greatest weaknesses for trying to build a PD meeting. And that great strength is the diversity, because we have virtually every agriculturally relevant both plant, crop, and animal and livestock species represented. And there's no society that embraces that community. So we're very, in that sense, we're very united, but in the other sense, we're very fragmented. And so we can't just pick this meeting and say, that's it, because it's not one that caters to a large segment of our stakeholders. So we're going to keep exploring better, more and better ways of doing this. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Tiny comment. I mean, I think one of the advantages of doing it this way, mm-hmm. or maybe something ideal would be like 4 hours or longer, mm-hmm. is that we have a whole community here, like yeah. students, for example, mm-hmm. that can learn on, like graduate students, PhD or postdocs, that can mm-hmm. learn how a grant can be written, for example, to
yes.
be mm-hmm. successful. And that mm-hmm. they're not just the PDs, but many other people can also mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and even to share your findings with folks that may never mm-hmm. choose to transition to organic production, but you're doing a lot of work that does apply to conventional production. Think of the cover crop work. Okay, you've pioneered it, you've led the charge, you've developed it, but then there's a lot of people using it that really may not be interested in transition, and that's okay, because that multiplies our impact in so many ways. But if you have it at a meeting like this, you have a chance to touch those folks, where if we isolate ourselves, we might not. Yes.
Yeah, and another thing before I come to you, and I would like your feedback on that, is usually our PD meetings, we will have a big book with all the speakers line up, and we will give 15 minutes to each person during 2 days. Is this model where we select a topic? Like this year, we just decided that maybe we make this a grantsmanship kind of PD meeting, where some people can learn how to put together some grants and share experience. Is that the kind of model that you guys would like to see more, focusing on few talks, but on main topics and dig more deeper in that topic?
Yes. Yeah, I really like this format. I think this was really well done. I mean, these are hard to commit to. The two-day meetings are hard to commit to. And you know, you sometimes lose some of the PIs who want to come in for that just because of other commitments. So, I mean, the flip side is obviously it's hard for a PI to be like, oh, I'm going to come in for a five-minute talk for, you know, half a day. So I like that you connected it to societies. I mean, I certainly encourage you to also connect it to the Tri-Society some years of horticultural other years to get the different crowds. But connecting to a society where it's not a big time commitment, but then in an hour and a half, you can see what everybody in the country is doing with organic right now. And this is a great system.
Yeah, we did that. We actually approached the Agronomy Society also, but we're late. Yes? Yeah, and again, this whole thing was decided at the very last minute. You guys know we have to even go to some of you individually to really tweak your fingers to have you to come, because we wanted to have something, you know, this year. We didn't want to miss the opportunity. Yes, Ash. Yes.
Place to actually showcase outcomes or outputs of the program to grower communities.
But that will be something different, Ash, because again, here this session is open, but we like to keep our PD meetings sometimes confidential, because there are some of your data that are still at a stage that you don't want to share with the general public. So usually we would not, unless we change the way we do things, open these PD meetings to farmers and growers. It's an opportunity for us scientists, especially NIFA, to get a feel on what you have been doing. But you may want to keep stuff confidential.
That does underscore another opportunity, though, for potential, even a grant opportunity.
Exactly.
To, you know, create a conference associated with that to showcase the work here. Now that,
exactly.
That could be done.
And I don't know how many of you we are not allowed to talk about, but I was at a session next door. Someone was talking about the future of this program. If what the person was saying is true, it means that really we would need a lot of your help, a lot of feedback on how we move forward with OREI for the next, you know, couple of years to come. So begin to think about that, and if you have ideas, let us know. Any other question? Yes.
I think I missed that comment just a minute ago, but I was wondering if Organicology or Moses or something would be a possible venue for this.
Yes.
Is that what the comment was?
Yes, absolutely. It would be. Or it could be something that we don't do a PD meeting, but something else larger than this PD meeting. Yeah. Okay. We have until 12:15 here in the room. Maybe I'll just share with you, but anytime if you have a question, just ask. Share with you some of the statistics. We usually do a grantsmanship a session, and again, a lot of people would think we are asking them to come and learn how to become a scientist. That's why we have those three speakers at the beginning. They tell you you have to have your own ideas first. No matter how many grantsmanship presentation you go to, if you don't have a good idea, it will never fly. So this is not teaching people how to write grant or to be scientist, but basically, like I say here, it's teaching an old dog new small tricks. So, and you know that those three people that started this session, they talk to you, you may think it is easy, but it is actually a really tough game looking for grants. When you look at the success rate of our program, the two programs that we run in 2018, we have ORAI was at 16% this year, and ORG at 19%. I think ORAI, I was asking Steve to confirm that, since 2012, we have had consistently a success rate above 18%, something like that. 2012, it was about 8%. But that was kind of an awkward year, that year. So, and when you look at this type of success rate, we are getting to the point where we are becoming as competitive as many of our AFRI programs. That is very important. There are years when we are unable to fund projects in the outstanding category. So when we finish the ranking, everything, we fund everything, we run out of money, and we still have projects listed in the outstanding high priority category. So, and this year, as you all knew, heard, our panels were virtual. And it was something across the board from in our institute, not NIFA, but Institute of Food Production and Sustainability within NIFA. Most of our panels were virtual. I would say close to 90% of them. So that's what we did, even though we have a record submission for ORAI this year. It was one of the things I've been at NIFA, I haven't seen that many applications. It means that the community is growing. We are becoming more competitive. And if we look at all the funded projects for the organic transitions, 60% were resubmissions. And sometime a third resubmission, maybe even a fourth resubmission. This is just to tell you that don't be discouraged. If you see someone who is submitting project to our programs who is not getting funded, don't tell the person, keep improving it. If you get discouraged, you are out. You're out of the game. And actually, some of those people who get funded this year, they call us and say, I don't know, after 3 years, I'm not going to submit anymore. We say, you know, look at your reviews, improve them, and resubmit. And one of them got funded this year. The situation was a little bit different for ORAI. It wasn't quite 60% of the project recommended for funding that were resubmission. It was about 20%. However, the big problem with ORAI was that most of the people who got funded were very experienced grant writers. And these three that you saw here today are among those. They were putting a proposal for the first time, but it was to continue something that they have been doing for years. So even though you think it was getting it funded in the first shot, it was actually more than that. There's something behind that type of success. Telling us that with ORAI, the community is becoming more mature now. We are having people who have been receiving a second and third, maybe very soon, their fourth award for that program. So on that, usually we finish by giving a couple of tips, but this year we asked the applicant, some of the grantees, to tell us, you know, those tricks. Again, it is always don't wait. As we speak right now, we have no RFA for 2019. We don't know if we have one. We don't have a farm bill yet. But if I had to apply to the program, I will be looking at it right now. I will be meeting with my teams right now. If you look at what we published in 2018, chances are that we are not going to change that 100%. There may be a little bit of changes here and there, but this is the time, and I think some of those speakers at the beginning told you the same thing. Start right now putting your team together. Start planning your meetings, you know, drafting your ideas. We talk about stakeholders. That's the ORAI is a program. We listen very closely to what our stakeholders want. We are not just there to do science. We do science that have applications. direct application. Those are the ones that fought for this program, and we want the program to serve them. So please, as you develop your ideas, work with your stakeholders. And these are just some comments that we saw in some of the proposals. You know, it's like you want farmers to work for you, right? Instead of you working for farmers. So those are the comments that some of the reviewers, you know, look at the proposals and say, you know, we cannot see a direct interaction with stakeholder in this proposal. Therefore, we are not going to recommend it for funding. So those are the things that you have to avoid. And you have to find your partners right now. You know, Stephen talked about how he put together that team of experts throughout the country. And also cut your work in small pieces and focus on the outcome. Ash talked about that insect that he's working with, or the need for putting new varieties in the hands of farmers, or new cover crops. Focus on that outcome at the beginning of your project. And most of the time, we all know we can go and search the CRIS systems, and you use a systems approach. Most of our work at NIFA right now, especially for large awards, are focusing on systems approach. We are not just going to look at tiny little pieces. How do you put together all those pieces to make that system or a portion of a system work for farmers? And learn about the review process. You cannot play a game without knowing the rules of that game. If you don't know how the review process is done, you may end up being like me when I was in your place. Each time I get declined, I would be angry about the reviewers and think that they just don't like me or what. Until I decided to go and sit down and see how that thing is done. Learn. When you see that, you go home and you say, oh my God, I was submitting things that would never be funded. If you have an opportunity to volunteer to come and serve with us, do it. It will teach you the rules of the game so that when you put together your proposal, you know what you are looking for. We are also, this year, we found a lot of proposals that were submitted to the wrong program. We look at it and say, wow, this was going to be a slam dunk for the organic transitions. But the person submitted it to ORAI and didn't make the good case for that. We know sometimes people do that because ORAI offered 2 million. The ORG is only 500, but don't do that. Talk to Steve and me. Okay, I have 2 minutes now. So, and the RFA, a lot of people don't even read the RFA. They don't. They just assume that it's going to be the same thing all the time. And when the RFA is released, you can look again at if your program doesn't fit the RFA, it will not be funded. You can pound it as long as you want. If it doesn't fit the program, it's never going to be funded. And Steve and I, there's nothing we can do. The reviewers, you get 20 people there making the decision on your behalf. And again, read the RFA. We cannot emphasize that enough. And most of the grant, we can read it and know that these people never met. You see that portion of text that were cut and put together, you can see where the transition is easily. So try to do that. And also develop a timeline for your project. And again, understand the criteria for evaluating proposal. And to understand that, again, try to serve on those panels. And understand the review process. Sometimes we assign up to 15, 20 proposals to one person to review. Keep that in mind. When they start reading the first page, if they don't like it, they will continue reading. It will be a big burden for them, but they will be reading to find weaknesses, not to see if you can be funded. So right from the beginning, make sure things are simple. And a lot of times, for many programs, all the experts are submitting proposals. If all the plant breeders are competing, we are probably going to find someone who knows very well plant breeding, but who will not be a breeder. So write it to lay people like Steve and myself, so that anyone can, good scientists can read your proposal and know what you are trying to do. Don't write to the expert, because the expert are competing just like you to get the money. And make it very clear, organize your ideas, you know, short sentences. A lot of people like pictures, graphic, things like that. They like to be educated on that topic. They like to finish and say, wow, I learned so much from this proposal. If they don't do that, they are not going to put you on top there. So these are the tiny little things. Budget. A lot of people, again, don't start with a budget. Design a project. Put together things that you need to do and then finish with the budget. Don't start with the budget in mind. And a lot of people do that. They go for $2 million. And we realize you can do that work for $200,000. So I ask for $2 million. So that's another aspect. We don't spend a lot of time reviewing the budget. You know, these are just some quotes. I'm not going to read them. You see people proposing a budget, and then the activities don't align with the budget. That's a reviewer would notice that you're never going to be funded. Sometimes you put a postdoc for something that requires a high school student to do. So, and most people will try to fight the reviews. When you get your reviews from the previous from the previous panel, take a time to read those things. And don't just start by saying, who are these crazy people who review my proposal? They didn't understand anything. When you say that, they get even more angry. Say, you know, I understand it, but maybe I failed to explain what I wanted to say. And then explain that to that person who didn't understand it. Then they will understand you. Don't just fight them. You don't have also to modify your proposal, but let the reviewer know that you actually read it and you took it very seriously. And most people, you know, you write, we have a lot of, this year we saw a lot of proposals where the people just say, too many typos. And imagine a group of scientists, when someone just say, too many typos, they did this, I don't think that they put enough time on this proposal. It's gone. You may end up being in the high priority or even medium, but you are not going to be funded. Get someone who is not afraid of hurting you, because sometimes if I know that I put a lot of red in your document, it's going to hurt you. Some people will just say, oh, it's good, you know, go ahead and submit. Find someone who is not afraid of criticizing you or putting his critiques in writing. That is only going to be very helpful for the team. And we also have a lot of cases where people, we have the forms that come with your application package. People download those things and then toss them aside and then create their own form. Like the abstract, you know, all those things. No, use the one that is in grants.gov. Sometimes some of those things are put in such a way that our computer system, we can just search and grab them easily. So use the form that comes with grant.gov, not your own. That is very important. We got a year where there were a lot of lucky people. They get funded because some of the good proposals, they used the wrong form and got rejected. That was a budget form. And that was a grant, a proposal close to $2 million. One of the 15 sub-awardees used the wrong form, kicked out the whole thing. So pay attention to that. And allow the time for us. I think here we have done a good job. This year we did not get any rejection based on time of submission.
In either program.
In either program. So here probably next year we'll delete this slide. A lot. 501 is laid with us and the proposal is rejected. But this program, we didn't see that this year. Okay, and this is what Steve liked to say, you know, be clear, catch the attention of the reviewer. He liked to say this all the time. And because you need a couple of people on that panel to say, this is the best proposal that I have ever seen. I want to see this thing on top. And those people are those who have no conflict of interest with you. And for someone to be able to do that, it has to be perfect. You have to catch their attention. Okay, I'm not going to be here to go through all this. We went through that many times. And on this, I would say one other thing that we usually emphasize is the acknowledgement. I have seen it on most of your presentations. I went through all the posters and took pictures of all the projects that were funded by us. The reason we want you to have that acknowledgement there with the grant program is so that we can beat your drum for you. And the director of NIFA at the time of Ramaswamy, someone did a really cool job, sent me a document, and I went running to his office. I said, oh, Sonny, we have this great project from ORAI. He took it the first thing, you look at the first page, the last page, there was no acknowledgement of NIFA. And he sent it back to me. And that was the end. So please, if you get funding from this program, make sure you help us identify that outcome by putting not only NIFA, but the grant program and your award number. That helps us a lot. And another thing that I would like to emphasize is your report. Steve and I, we read the report. A lot of people think that, yeah, we don't read those reports. No, we read them. The reason is we were really embarrassed when OFRF was doing a review of our programs and other programs. They got some reports that were almost meaningless. You know, every year when you want to do it, it will pre-populate everything for you. And there will be one place there called accomplishment from this program for the year. That's the place where we want to see what you have done. And sometimes you see one sentence. We did everything that wasn't put in the proposal. So, yeah, imagine if we are called on the hill and we have our director there in the back. If he calls me and Steve and say, I want to know what has been done on that cover crop project. We go on the CRIS system and find one sentence. Do you think we are going to go to him and show him that? We will be very embarrassed. So in the front end, we would try to make sure what is getting in is in good quality. And please help us with that. That's what we use to go and fight to get more funding. We don't fight ourselves, but we put that in the hands of people who can use that information to fight for us. So on that, maybe any other questions?